Chuck was right. After the special music, we can all go home. Beautiful. Thank you, Shelby. My title is God's Commission Part 2, and on March 4th, I brought to your attention the Great Commission. And there were certain aspects of the Great Commission. One, that it's a Bible promise. Two, that Jesus had overcome the world and received from God the Father all power in heaven and on earth. Next, he had obtained this power in order that he would empower his people, that's us, to go throughout the world. His desire for his empowered people was to have close personal contact with one another, showing the world the character of God. The commission which is fulfilled in our ordinary life. Matthew 25:40, Jesus explains that every action for or against a person registers in the heart of God. It's as if it were done to him. God is injured by every harmful act and blessed by every right action of mercy. Each person, each one of us, is like a fingerprint. It's unique, so unique that when a person is lost, God he feels that loss. There are people in the world waiting for you and me to speak Jesus' life into their life. And the life of Jesus needs to be transferred from one person to another. God has created you for this time. He has created you for this purpose. A few small missionary stories. Abraham, the friend of God, and at times called the father of faith, twice used his wife as a shield to save himself, and once tried to help God out to make good on God's promise. But God had faith in Abraham and knew he would lay all aside that he loved for him for God. Elijah, faith failed when he ran, skirted his duty, and then he twice blamed God's people, the church, that because of their lack of adherence to God and his standards, he was alone, and everyone else had left, so he had the right to run. God's faithfulness was greater still, and God took Elijah home in a fiery chariot. Peter first ran in fear when they came for Jesus after telling him he would never leave him or forsake him. Yet Jesus, knowing this, with cursings he would be denied, Jesus told Peter that he would see him again in Galilee later on. Hezekiah, who God healed and gave him 15 more years of life, caused a sign to be performed, and this sign was going to be so awesome, it was going to be a cosmic event. This sign was to turn the world back 10 degrees. And this sign, you could say, would light up the world. And it would cause the whole world to look at God's people, especially Babylon. Babylon would be looking at God's people. Babylon is going to knock on the people of God's door. The question is, what are you going to show them? Your riches and wealth? Or are you going to show them God? You are made in his image, and when you open the door to his call, he is faithful, and he is the author and finisher of your faith, according to Hebrews 12:2. This leads to the question, what will I do with my life? With God's commission, knowing the gravity and impact of my decisions will echo in people's lives throughout history and in the heart of God. There is only one course for me to pursue. To go all in, living for God and lifting up his image so he can draw all to him. We all, on March 4th, were told about a church, local church mission called Kids Community that you could take part in. Then we came together and affirmed and prayed for God's blessing upon Shelby, Gilbert, Jocelyn, Andrew, who heard God's call to go to El Salvador. They have returned and would like to share with us their joy and their experiences in El Salvador. I cannot wait to hear what the Lord has worked in their lives during their time in El Salvador.
Good morning, church family. To be frank and honest with you, I don't know where to start. There is so much. And when I say this, it's because to honor God, He is an awesome God. We saw miracles and things that happened in our mission field and our mission trip that it just kind of leaves me still dumbfounded, you know, to understand that I felt privileged and honored to go to the field and basically to honor Jesus. And let's tell you a little bit about that today. But first of all, some of the members that we met at in Salvador at the Hispanic churches, they told us, please tell the brothers and sisters back at your local community church and just tell them, you know, say, Feliz Sábado. That's what they said. And then they said, Saludos cordiales. And they said, say hello, welcome. And said, many blessings to y'all. And that's what I'm sharing with you today. Also, we want to thank you as a church. Because without your prayers, I will say that the difficult part about the mission field is not only getting in the plane, but also to be out there and doing God's work. So I know that you guys were praying for the Tullahoma Church members, of course, and the GCA. So we felt your prayers during that whole week, just covered and poured, knowing that these kids were energized and to go every day and serve the Lord. So for those that probably don't know the background, I want to share a little bit about the background. So the GCA, Cumberland Academy, which is in Georgia, which Andrew and Shelby are currently attending at the high school, we're part of a mission field or a spring break mission trip. And so with that in mind, you know, they kind of asked the dad, you know, can I come along? And so I did. I did participate in that. And also Jocelyn decided to go along. Just to give you a little bit of background about that, this kind of started as a kind of little family tradition, I say. So Jocelyn and I went on a couple mission trips back in when she was in high school, and we wanted to keep that going with Andrew. So we made that effort to be able to go with Andrew and be also on his first mission trip, which also it was Shelby's first mission trip. So this was an awesome experience. Again, I mentioned without all to say, and hopefully you'll see some pictures here that I'm going to share with you, but also the pastor went along with us. And so I'm telling you, the pastor is fun, okay? He is. Trust me when I tell you this. You know, having experience and you know, with him the whole week, he is fun. He is fun. So the ADRIC Connection staff members, we also connected with them. It was an opportunity to basically not only for us to give to the community, but also to reach out to the staff. Let me tell you, when I tell you there's background, things happen in our activities, there is. Nonstop to basically feed, you know, almost 90 people, okay, when I tell you this. 90 people. All the time, 24 hours around the clock, sometimes these guys would be working, the staff, just to keep us going. Of course, you know, not only do the washing, I call it the washing of the clothes, right? And so they had to do that. And so it was constantly. One person came to me, he goes, the ladies and her dish washer has not stopped working since the kids have got here. So as you can see, all the things, all the elements of part of the mission trip, it's not just... Again, it's not just packing up your bag and going. There's a lot of things that happen. And so with that purpose, on this mission trip, designated to go to Chalipique, El Salvador, which is Central America for that all that may not know. The mission was basically spotted to do these we call it greenhouses, basically. And also to do Bible school, or we call it Vacation Bible School, but also medical clinics. And these three elements were part of the heart of the actual activity of the mission trips. Lastly, that I want to mention is we left on the 8th and went through the 20th, almost in a week and a half during that time frame. So let me share a little bit about what the ADRA connection is all about. ADRA and El Salvador has been working in the dry corridor Indiana, they compromises the entire eastern half of the country for many years. It is as little as 15% of the annual rainfall in El Salvador falls in the dry quarters. As you can see, it's very dry. Even though we experience all the greens, the, you know, almost like sort of like Tennessee, but it doesn't rain as much. And so this is pretty much a deprived part of the country. Although local governments have advised farmers not to plant because of the problems, EDRA in El Salvador has developed an innovating project to offer the water reservoirs, dropless irrigation systems, and the beautiful greenhouses that I already mentioned to all the risk farmers, which they cannot produce. And so this project is previously been one of EDRA's international annual innovation grants project that has had the sustainable and measurable impact. EDRA Connections selecting the projects because it fits our criteria in a very way and will offer both high impact in our community, partners, and the amazing hands and experience of the young volunteers. So again, as you can see, some of the pictures hopefully you'll capture, there's sort of a I call it a process. You know, you got to be able to dig the ground, put up the systems, and then obviously put the canvas over the top. And so this was the main purpose of the mission, is to basically establish for the individual, they call them, local community that would benefit, the beneficiaries would actually receive these greenhouses per family. What I was told, and these are the numbers, very rough numbers, the typical income per month per family is typically around $300 a month. I don't know if you guys can live off $300 a month, but it's very, very hard. And so what the numbers were actually given to me, and I sort of ran them, is that by them having one greenhouse, it will produce around an average about $150 per week additional in their income. So if you multiply that times four, as you can see, their income does increase. So it does not only giving them the opportunity, hope, right, but also to basically prosper their families and go on. So that's one of the many things that EDRA is doing in that community. So let me say this, and I get a little side because of my glasses here. It says, we pray that you will get a blessing, and as well as we did too. Shelby and Andrew and Jocelyn and Pastor and I, in our message today, we want to share a few points that would take away, that we want you to take away with the mission trip purpose and that focuses on inspiring others to be involved in the missionary, witness to the faith of Jesus, in innovating and challenging you to connect. Remember this, I'll mention this over and over and over, in the local and the national and the international mission trips. And also, here's the highlight that I'm probably going to give it away already, just a sense of gratitude. I want to make sure you soak that in. For God loves a cheerful giver. Remember that. And I think that's been the theme already this morning in our hearts. So I want to turn it over to Shelby.
Okay, so good morning. So as I don't know if you get, some of you may know, some of you may not know, this was my first time on a mission trip and out of the country. So it was like crazy for me. I was so scared to go. I was excited, but I was scared because it was all new to me. But I'm very happy I went because it was an amazing experience. On the first plane ride, I spent probably the entirety of it just looking out the window and stuff. Mr. Randy? No. Yes. Okay. So it was beautiful. It was clear water. I mean, it was just beautiful. Okay. So we got to El Salvador, and fun fact, some of you guys may have ever been through customs if you've ever been out of the country. You didn't have to do that in El Salvador. If you were over the age of 18, you did. But because the economy was so low, because as he said, the people there make like $300 a month, the economy was so low there, there just was no need for it. You would be making losing quite a bit of profit if you were to take stuff from America and try to sell it there. So it just didn't matter. So, next. So, when we got there, the Adder people met us there, and the Adder people were wonderful. The staff were I got to know some of the female staff, I really got to know them. And they would translate for us. If we needed anything, we just had to tell them. They washed our laundry, which that was absolutely amazing. I think it took them 2 days to finish all of our laundry. There was a lot of it. And some of it they had to do by hand. And there was, I don't know, how many was there of us? 40, 50? 55 kids. They were absolutely wonderful to us. Okay, next. So that was a house there. That was not one of the bad ones. When we got there, we got to interact with some of the locals. Some of the houses, buildings were just terrible. Some had no beds. Some of them, they didn't have running water systems like we have, like sinks and that kind of stuff. They didn't have toilets. They had outhouses. I did not like that. I never had to see something like that before it's true, being Americans, just being in this country, I've never seen an outhouse. We don't have to deal with that. I mean, you can go to a gas station, there's running water, there's a decent toilet, some of them have showers. They don't have that there. They don't get that privilege. And just something else that I noticed while I was there was that the people there were so wonderful. I mean, I didn't meet one unkind person. And it was like, I had a little bit of culture shock coming back because, I mean, like when I got, like, when I would just, when we were on the buses, I would just smile at people through windows and stuff. Like, the bus window, they would smile and wave and stuff. When I got back to America, when we were in the airport, I would smile at somebody, and they would give me a look to, like, go jump in the water or something. Like, they were just not nice. But I didn't find that there. I don't speak Spanish, and so people had to kind of, like, be a little more, like, when we went shopping or when, you know, just trying to communicate with people, we had to, like, kind of, it took a little longer. But everybody was so, like, understanding, and I have some really funny experience with it. But nobody was mean. Nobody was unkind. And they have to deal with stuff like the heat there was terrible. I mean, it was so hot. They had to deal with stuff with the hot temperatures. Their houses were like falling in on them, some of them. There was no AC there. And like the wages, like the poor wages. It was, I think that's like a blessing on its own, just watching them and seeing how they were. Okay, next slide. So we finally got to the greenhouses. I didn't know what to think when we first saw them because it was just a bunch of sticks, just a bunch of poles starting with. What we ended up having to do, next slide, that is Abdi. He was like our leader. We had to dig trenches. We had to dig holes for the poles so we could put cement in. We had to build it from like scratch pretty much. And it was a lot of hard work. Next slide. Like, I mean, there's the trenches we were digging. That was our first work site. And I was in the same group as Andrew. We were in group 6. And on that day, that would kind of lead us, like, to the end because there was a lady there who was very sweet to us. She let us go use her bathroom and stuff. And her brother, I think brother, was working with us. And he was there, like, almost the entire time. She didn't get a green. So she wasn't supposed to get a greenhouse. You can go to the next slide. She wasn't supposed to get a greenhouse. Oh, never mind. Sorry, go back. She wasn't supposed to get a greenhouse, but we all came together. Zabdi gathered us all together, Zabdi and another parent who was in our group, and was like, I'm not okay with this person not getting a greenhouse. I know this is like our last day, but can we somehow, like, can we build this lady a greenhouse? So we got up really early and we went out before everybody else and we built one of these greenhouses, something that had taken us like a full day before. We built it in 3 hours. That includes cement, that includes everything. And it was like, there was a few hiccups in the path where we were like, oh no, I don't know if we're going to do this. We were supposed to have a pole, like if you saw it in the last slide, we were supposed to have like the metal poles. One of them just went missing. There's one that was supposed to be there and it went missing and we couldn't find it. So we just had to like continue doing our stuff while somebody went to look for it. Thank the Lord, we did find it. But it was a real experience. Okay, next slide. So while we were there, we got to go, that's a volcano. That blue stuff is water and under the water is lava. That was a 2 mile hike up a volcano. I'm not exactly the fittest person, if you can't tell. So when we were climbing up, I was praying the entire time to God, come on, get me up this thing. But when I got up there, it was absolutely worth all of it. And it really showed me, God made these awesome things. Like, I've never seen a volcano before. But, like, it was beautiful all around it. Like, you know, it was foresty at the bottom. And then, like, as we kept on getting up, like, it was, you could see everything. I mean, we could see all the way back to where our bus was. I don't have a picture of that. But it was absolutely stunning that God made all of that for us. Okay, next slide. So so we went to church. On our last Saturday, we went to a church, and that's where we did a VBS for the kids, and we did a church service. On the way up there, the bus got stuck, so we had to finish walking the way to church. It wasn't that far, but it was hot. So at the VBS, this is more from what I heard, because I was watching a baby for most of the time. There was a lady who just kind of gave me her child and didn't take her back. So I was watching a little child. But like from what I've heard, like, and I saw too, like the kids were so happy and they were excited. They haven't gotten to experience that kind of stuff before. And then we did like VBS songs, you know, like the In Right Upright Down songs. Like we were just having fun with them, and they absolutely loved it, and it was so awesome to see like their faces and stuff, and it was a remarkable experience. Okay, last slide. So that was on the way home. I got to really think about the entire trip, like just everything that had happened, and while I was there, I felt complete. I felt closer to God than I've ever felt before, and it was undescribable. And because of this trip, I think God is calling me to do this. So my goal right now is to go to college and get a master's in disaster relief, and hopefully I can go work with ADRA, and for places that bad things happen, I'll be sent there to help provide relief. So if you guys ever get a chance to go on a mission trip, totally should. So worth it. Okay, Andrew.
Hey, everyone. So let me tell you something. A word, I don't speak very good Spanish, first of all. my parents never taught me, but I kind of taught myself. So I knew pretty good now. I was a pretty decent translator for somebody who didn't know a lot of Spanish, let's be honest. But my dad, at the beginning of the year, I was presented with this idea. There were two trips that GCA always does. They always do a mission trip, and they always do a European study tour. And my dad comes up to me, he's like, let's go to Italy, come on. I went on a mission trip in October, and this is in the States, and we went somewhere. And I was so impacted by just local, so I said I wanted to do an international one. So I said, no, we're going to El Salvador. And he goes, I want to go to Italy. I said, we're going to El Salvador. And so then it comes, and my sister comes with us too, and so did Pastor Milano. But when we got there, like Shelby says, we get off the plane. The Adra people were amazing. There was a guy named Alex. He's the Adra El Salvador director. He is one of the nicest people and funniest people you'll ever meet. They are just a wonderful group of people. But what I want to highlight on my trip was this word, thank you. Thank you. That was my favorite word. Gracias. That's what they would always say. Gracias, señor. Gracias. That word impacted my life so much. They were so grateful, I'm telling you. me and my dad, it was the last day of the work sites, and Shelby, me and Shelby and our huge group, we had built the greenhouse in 3 hours. And so we're all about to leave, and we're all about to go. This was probably my favorite part. And my dad and Mr. Brosfield, he's a guy that was, he was a person along with the trip. And Mr. Grosso and Drew Brosfield and one of my other friends, he says, all these plumbings need to be done so they can have running water. And they said, no, we're going to go to the supermarket. We're going to have fun. We're going to relax. And my dad and all of us said, no, we're going to continue. So we did all the plumbing for these extra greenhouses that we did. And every single time we would finish, they would look at us in the eyes and they would say, thank you. Thank you so much. You don't know what you have done in my life. You have changed our life so much. Just from building, I spent my time building greenhouses, but I have impacted these people's lives forever. Every single person we went to. And then at the very end, this lady comes up to my dad, and she goes, Señor, gracias, gracias, gracias. And she almost started crying. Because she know what we did for these people was one of the most amazing things I've ever done in my life. To see the glimpse and how gratitude they are. My leader, Zabdi, said something that impacted me also. He said, when we go overseas, it's called mission work. But when we're here, we see somebody like that. Oh, we're willing to help somebody overseas who's poor and all of that. But when we come over here, oh, they're just homeless. Oh, why don't they have a job? I'm not saying we do that, but it's a very stereotypical thing. Why don't they have a job? Just go get a job. El Salvador, they can do the same thing. But I could see that there's mission work to be done here. In our town, Tullahoma, in our little church, we can do an impact. I might have done overseas, but here in our communities, there's mission work to be done. I think you is a word everybody knows. And to see the gratitude that I could do in a life, just a little change I did over one summer, well, spring break, I mean, I realized there's work to be done everywhere. And for me to just do that little thing, preach, do all those things that we did, and medical, to see these people's on these faces, I know it can be done here. So I'm not saying that we need to go all and start a soup kitchen right now, but I'm saying we are God's mission work. Every single one of me and you, that is what I saw in El Salvador. Through all the hard work that everybody did and everything, I saw Jesus through every single way of that. And I still see him because we can do it here in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, yes, thank you. And I guess just the process in me, let's kind of review. Adra continued to drove a theme to us was connections. Connections. And we can also use the same word and say connected for you and me. How is that that we're connected? As you might have heard in the spiritual connections, It is that God wants us or to use you or me as individuals for the kingdom for heavenly purposes. That's the main reason. I want you to make sure that that's the takeaway. So connection is that about an individual mindset. Think about this. An individual mindset. And it needs to be intentional. Intentional. As I prepared for this mission trip and I flew into El Salvador, I began thinking, what is connections to me? Maybe in the Bible can be explained, and I think it was already read, in Matthew 25-34:40, if you read the whole thing, I want you to just meditate on that. But it does say one thing. One of the least of these, my brothers and sisters. Just that last remaining kind of sentence, paraphrasing. It's what you did to me. If you think about that, there's a greater deep thought in this about connections that we as individuals have to connect with others, not only as Andrew and Shelby have already mentioned, about connecting with people. So my thought process, as I thought about it, as I reflect on this mission trip, I came up with a few connection points. Connect with Jesus first. Connect with the local and El Salvador people. And we did connect. A pastor came to me running, and there's another sister that we actually have been in a mission trip before. They all three of us came together, and it was, I want to just say, providential. And they said, have you talked to the girl Carol in the kitchen? And I said, no, I haven't. I've seen her. And then we started talking about a little bit more about Carol. Such an inspirational girl once we got to know her. And she is there at the academy working 1 year and then going to go to school because she's going to start college. She has to give 1 year of her time at the school she's working for so she can actually go to college for 1 year. So her four-year degree or five-year degree is going to take her 10 years. Think about that. Think about that. That's why we keep reminding that we need to be grateful and full of gratitude. And also, how do you connect with the academy? Another point was to connect with the academy staff members. Yes, I went there because of Andrew and Shelby, but also I tried to connect with the students. And also was to connect with nature. Something that has been missing in my mission trips when I go. There's a gentleman that actually we become very good friends. He's a Chuck. He loves birds. I think you would connect tremendously. And he just overwhelmed me with nature. And he kept showing me his camera. We get so close to that bird. I mean, it was just, I got some beautiful pictures. Beautiful pictures. You don't see those birds out here up north. And also, I went there because I wanted to connect with my family. As I experienced the connection, then I was able to listen to God teaching me about connecting to people and serving others, most of all, as it becomes a blessing in your life. Just remember that. I want to finish by sharing this final lesson that I think Andrew's already mentioned. In our construction group, we learned the word esperar. And I, trust me, I'm bilingual. I speak two languages. But I've never been able to define the word esperar. Maybe when my mom was small. And esperar means wait. And that was just such a powerful statement in our group, in our construction, because we waited for the tools. And you men will relate to this. We waited for the drill. We waited for the plumbing supplies. We waited for the sand, you know, so we can build these structures. You can think of all the logistical problems when it comes to construction that all of this was missing. And there was a turmoil in me, because I'm a process engineer, that just says, the process needs to be improved, right? That was me. And then I realized and I said, No, God needs to control all that process. And he was in control. One of the amazing stories that Andrew has already mentioned, I call it the elite team. GCA came up with an elite team, and that was their group. I don't know if you have that video tape, video, Randy. It's in there, in the videos. It's the only video. I was privileged to be part of that last push and effort because there was one family that was the leader of that group that was just selflessly volunteering his time to make a lot of these greenhouses, but he was the last one to be served. He taught me a lesson of service. He waited, and these kids engineered their little mine, and that one evening, that when we came back from the field, and they all got together, and they said, Lord inspired them that they would go, and I think his name was Andres, to go back to Miguel's or Andres' house and finish that house. But also all the plumbing that Andrew mentioned. So in all of this waiting, God's perfect timing, he gave me the opportunity to be with the elite team. Look at them. All those kids just going to go finish the work. That was amazing. Oh, of course, I'm taking that video, trying to keep up with them. But it was just an amazing experience on my behalf to sit back, not do the work, but just to mentor and see these kids engage in the culture, but also with the people. It's like Andrew and Shelby said, how loving they were, how grateful they were. We were blessed by this. So, as I said before, I invite you to take that mindset and be intentional about serving anywhere that God wants you to go. May we be the feet of Jesus and the faith of Jesus that we must continue.